Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member Meir Ram Gold. I am Mesechus Menachos Daf Lamed Tes, the fourth Perek HaTchelas. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava says we can prove Keshet Elyon Deraisa. The upper knot of tzitzis is a biblical requirement, meaning tzitzis must be tied to the garment with at least one knot. Had the requirement only been rabbinical, why was it necessary for the Torah to permit a linen cloak with woolen tzitzis, meaning a drasha teaching to attach tzitzis, including the woolen tchelas, onto all garments, including linen ones, thus overriding the shatnez prohibition? If it's not required midiraisa to tie the tzitzis onto the garment, pshita, it's obviously permitted to use woolen tzitzis for a linen garment without tying it, because the tokef tekifa achas eino chibur. If one stitches wool to linen with a single stitch, it's not considered an attachment and would not violate shatnez. Since the Torah needed to permit woolen tzitzis on a linen garment, it proves that they must be tied on with a knot and would transgress the shatnez prohibition. Point number two, Rabba quoted Shmuel, though others quoted it from Rav, Tcheilos shekarach ruba kshera. If most of the tcheilos was braided, meaning two-thirds of the tzitzis were braided and one-third loose, it's valid. Rav also said, V'noi tcheilos shlishe kedil, v'shnei shlishe anof. The beauty of tcheilos is to have one-third braid and two-thirds fringe. A man was once wearing a garment made entirely of tcheilos, and its tzitzis were completely braided with no loose threads. Rav said, Yai glima bo yai techelta. The garment is fitting, but the techelis is not fitting since it lacks loose threads. Rabbi Barachana said, Yai glima bo yai techelta. The garment is fitting, and the techelis is fitting. The Gemara explains that he holds that since the pasuk describes tzitzis as gedil, braid, and elsewhere as psil, thread, we derive that tzitzis may be o gedil, o psil, either entirely braided or entirely loose thread. Rav holds that loose threads are always required, and the word gedilim teaches the number of threads required in tzitzis. The singular gedil would indicate two threads for a braid, the plural gedilim indicates four threads, and the additional term psil teaches as gedil psilehu misocho, make a braided fringe and let loose threads emerge from within it. And point number three, Levi said, Chutei tzemer potrim b'shel pishta. Woolen threads release a garment made of linen from its white thread tzitzis obligation. The Gemara asks, does this only apply to white threads of wool, since the tchelos threads must certainly be wool despite being shatnez with a linen garment, but pishtim, linen threads, would not be permitted for a woolen garment? Or, since the prohibition of tzemer upishtim yachtav, woolen and linen together, is written near the mitzvah of tzitzis, it permits even pishtan threads in a tzemer garment. Rav Yudah says that either tzemer or pishtim can be used for tzitzis in the opposite type of garment and can be used for any other material. Rav opposed a contradiction between psukim. A kanaf, the tzitzis of the corner, implies that tzitzis threads should be made from min kanaf, the same type of material as the corner, meaning the garment itself. But elsewhere, the pasuk specifies tzemer and pishtim, implying woolen linen should be used for all types of garments. He concludes that tzemer and pishtim can be used for all materials, and any material may be used as tzitzis in their own type of garment, but not for others. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rava says we can prove Kesher Elyon D'Oraisa, the upper knot of tzitzis, is a biblical requirement, meaning tzitzis must be tied to the garment with at least one knot. Had the requirement only been rabbinical, why was it necessary for the Torah to permit a linen cloak with woolen tzitzis, meaning a drasha teaching to attach tzitzis, including the woolen tchelas, onto all garments, including linen ones, thus overriding the shatnez prohibition? If it's not required midiraisa to tie the tzitzis onto the garment, pshita, it's obviously permitted to use woolen tzitzis for a linen garment without tying it, because the tokef tekifa achas eino chibur. If one stitches wool to linen with a single stitch, it's not considered an attachment and would not violate shatnez. Since the Torah needed to permit woolen tzitzis on a linen garment, it proves that they must be tied on with a knot and would transgress the shatnez prohibition. Point number two, Rabba quoted Shmuel, though others quoted it from Rav, Tcheilos shekarach ruba kshera. If most of the tcheilos was braided, meaning two-thirds of the tzitzis were braided and one-third loose, it's valid. Rav also said, V'noi tcheilos shlishe kedil, v'shnei shlishe anof. The beauty of tcheilos is to have one-third braid and two-thirds fringe. A man was once wearing a garment made entirely of tcheilos, and its tzitzis were completely braided with no loose threads. Rav said, Yai glima bo yai techelta. The garment is fitting, but the techelis is not fitting since it lacks loose threads. Rabbi Barachana said, Yai glima bo yai techelta. The garment is fitting, and the techelis is fitting. The Gemara explains that he holds that since the pasuk describes tzitzis as gedil, braid, and elsewhere as psil, thread, we derive that tzitzis may be o gedil, o psil, either entirely braided or entirely loose thread. Rav holds that loose threads are always required, and the word gedilin teaches the number of threads required in tzitzis. The singular gedil would indicate two threads for a braid, the plural gedilim indicates four threads, and the additional term psil teaches as gedil psilehu misocho, make a braided fringe and let loose threads emerge from within it. And point number three, Levi said, chutei tzemer potrim b'shel pishtam. Woolen threads release a garment made of linen from its white thread tzitzis obligation. The Gemara asks, does this only apply to white threads of wool, since the tchilas threads must certainly be wool despite being shotness with a linen garment, but pishtim, linen threads, would not be permitted for a woolen garment? Or, since the prohibition of tzemer upishtim yachtav, woolen and linen together, is written near the mitzvah of tzitzis, it permits even pishtan threads in a tzemer garment? Rav Yehuda says that either tzemer or pishtim can be used for tzitzis in the opposite type of garment and can be used for any other material. Rava posed a contradiction between psukim. Hakanaf, the tzitzis of the corner, implies that tzitzis threads should be made from min kanaf, the same type of material as the corner, meaning the garment itself. But elsewhere, the pasuk specifies tzemer and pishtim, implying woolen and linen should be used for all types of garments. He concludes that tzemer and pishtim can be used for all materials, and any material may be used as tzitzis in their own type of garment, but not for others. All right, so now we go to our siman daf lamed tes, and our standard siman is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the siman. So here goes. The tzitzis wearing Jewish mailman, who made sure the upper knot of his tzitzis was tight, since kesher elyon deraisa, and made sure that his tzitzis were one-third braided and two-thirds fringed, was delivering a package of wool tzitzis to the man who was going to put them on his linen garment. Once again, it's a motion. The tzitzis wearing Jewish mailman. Mailman, that must be more daf lamed tes, letter. The tzitzis wearing Jewish mailman, who made sure the upper knot of his tzitzis was tight, since kesher elyon deraisa, which reminds us, Rava says that we can prove kesher elyon deraisa. The upper knot of tzitzis is a biblical requirement, meaning tzitzis must be tied to the garment with at least one knot. So the tzitzis wearing Jewish mailman, who made sure the upper knot of his tzitzis was tight, since kesher elyon deraisa, and made sure that his tzitzis were one-third braided and two-thirds fringe, which reminds us, Rabba quoted Shmuel, though others quoted it from Rav, tcheos shekrach ruba kasherah, if most of the tcheos was braided, meaning two-thirds of the tzitzis were braided and one-third loose, it's valid. Rav also said, v'noi tcheos shlish gedil v'shnei shlishi anav, the beauty of tcheos is to have one-third braid and two-thirds fringe. So the tzitzis wearing Jewish mailman, who made sure the upper knot of his tzitzis was tight since kesher elyon deraisa, and made sure that his tzitzis were one-third braided and two-thirds fringe, was delivering a package of wool tzitzis to the man who was going to put them on his linen garment. Which reminds us that Rav Yehuda says that either tzemer or pishtan can be used for tzitzis in the opposite type of garment and can be used for any other material. Rava says that tzemer and pishtim can be used for all materials, and any material may be used as tzitzis in their own type of garment, but not for others. So once again, the tzitzis wearing Jewish mailman, who made sure the upper knot of his tzitzis was tight, since kesher elyon deraisa, and made sure that his tzitzis were one-third braided and two-thirds fringe, was delivering a package of wool tzitzis to the man who was going to put them on his linen garment. All right, so now it's time for a four-blatbach hazara.
Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Hey is the children's choir singing La La La. The children's choir. That must be around Daf Lamed Hey. Children's choir singing La La La. So the children's choir, who used giant film props with the titura and ma'abarta and a shin just like the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, which reminds us, Rav says, the titura of tefillin was taught as a halacha Moshe Mitzinai. This refers to the extended fourth wall of the tefillin, which is folded underneath to close the compartments. It's called the titura, a bridge, because it resembles a plank. Abai says that halacha Moshe Mitzinai requires the ma'abarta of tefillin, which is the back extension of the titura through which the strap passes back and forth. Abai said that halacha Moshe Mitzinai requires the shin of tefillin. So the children's choir, who used giant tefillin props with the titura and ma'abarta and a shin, just like the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, waved black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak says that halacha Moshe Mitzinai requires the ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, to be black. This is challenged from a Braisa teaching that the ritzuos must be beminam, with their type of material, meaning leather, and can be dyed green, black, or white. However, they may not be red because it disgraces the wearer, who will seem to have bleeding scabs or had relations with his wife while she was Anita. The Gemara answers Kan b'mifnim. The Braisa allows various colors for the inside of the straps, whereas Kan b'mechutz, Rabbi Yitzchak required black for the outside of the straps. So the children's choir who used giant tefillin props with the titur ma'abart and a shin, just like the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, wave black ritzuas with multicolored backs, but never red, as they sang about when Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin, which reminds us, Rava's quote as saying that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai teaches the requirements of a kesher shel tefillin, the tefillin knot, which together form the letters shin, dalet, and yud. Rav Shimon Chasida says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he would see Hashem's back, it means the kesher shel tefillin at the back of his head. Daf Lamed Vav. So the simur Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The man who noticed a lulav, that must be on Daf Lamed Vav. The man who noticed the lulav on the table as he was putting on his tefillin asked his friend, do we make a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaMoed in between making the bracha on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh? Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the brachas over the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. So the man who noticed the lulav on the table as he was putting on his tefillin asked his friend, do we make a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaMoed in between making the bracha on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh? To which his friend answered, Chol HaMoed is like Yantiv, and we don't wear tefillin. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether tefillin are worn at night or in Shabbos and Yantiv. So the man who noticed the lulav on the table as he was putting on his tefillin asked his friend, do we make a bracha on tefillin on the Chol HaMoed in between making the bracha on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh? To which his friend answered, Chol HaMoed is like Yantiv, and we don't wear tefillin. While their friend nearby touched his own tefillin because his attention to them was being distracted by the conversation. Which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said, Chayvanu l'mashmesh b'tefillin b'chol sha'ah. A person is obligated to touch his tefillin constantly to remain mindful of them. This can be derived from a kal v'chomer from the tzitz. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the simur Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they used their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag. That must be more on Daf Lamed Zayin. The boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they used their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, which reminds us that Gemara brings various reasons how we know tefillin shel yad are placed on the left arm, whereas a left-handed person places the tefillin on his right arm. So the boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they used their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag aim for the tefillin targets on their opponent's biceps right near their heart, which reminds us that Braisa defines al yadcha as referring specifically to the kiboris, the biceps muscle. The place for the shel rosh, expressed as bein einecha, between your eyes, means the kadkod, which is further explained as makum shemocho shel tinek rofe, the place where an infant's skull is soft. Braisa gives several sources that yadcha refers to the biceps muscle. So the boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag aim for the tefillin targets on their opponent's biceps right near their heart and argued that they should get four separate points for hitting the targets on the four corners of their opponent's tzitzis, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a malchokas, if four tzitzis are considered one mitzvah or four mitzvahs.
Daf Lamed Ches. So the simon Daf Lamed Ches is lach, liquid, and we use chicken soup for the simon. So here goes.
When the man cooking up tchelis in a chicken soup pot, chicken soup, that must be on Daf Lamed Ches, a davar lach, a liquid. When the man cooking up tchelis in a chicken soup pot to dye his ketzitzes told him to just use white because it won't be ready for a while and tchelis is not ma'akev lavan, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchokas if tchelis and lavan threads are ma'akev each other. So when the man cooking up tchelis in a chicken soup pot to dye his ketzitzes told him to just use white because it won't be ready for a while and tchelis is not ma'akev lavan, his nephew said he'll wait, but in the meantime he'll put white on his blue baguette because white strings always come first, which reminds us the Gemara discusses whether the mitzvah for the leaven to precede the tchelis is ma'akev. So when the man cooking up tchelis in a chicken soup pot to dye his ketzitzes told him to just use white because it won't be ready for a while and tchelis is not ma'akev lavan, his nephew said he'll wait, but in the meantime he'll put white on his blue baguette because white strings always come first, while the cousin came in with his tchelis strings ripped and the white ones whole, which reminds us the Gemara discusses gardumim, stubs, left when threads tear. The Mishnah is teaching that if the tchelis threads were reduced to stubs and the white threads remain, or vice versa, the tzitzis are still valid. The Gemara asks for the minimum shear of these stubs, and Shmuel says, kedegla anvan, enough to tie them into a slipknot. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do we discuss the brachos over the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 2.
Which stuff do we discuss putting tzitzis of tzemer or pishtan for garments of the opposite type or other materials? That's on Daf Lamed Tes.
Good. Number 3.
Which stuff do we discuss how much of the tzitzis should be braided and how much should be loose threads? That's on Daf Lamed Tes.
Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn about the kesher, the knot of the tefillin? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn about placing the mezuzah near Rishus HaRabim and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards his servants from outside? That's on daf. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we mechok because if tchelos and love and threads are ma'ak of each other? That's on daf. Lamed Chaz. Good. Number 7.
Which daf do we learn that Kesher Elyon Deraisa? The upper knot of tzitzis is a Deraisa. That's on daf. Lamatas.
Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn the proper height for placing a mezuzah? That's on daf. Lamad Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn the reason why the tefillin shel yad are placed on the left arm and for a left-handed person they're placed on the right arm? That's on daf. Lamad Zion. Great. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that a person is obligated to touch his tefillin constantly to remain mindful of them? That's on daf. Lamed Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.